McClain. Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and penultimate workday of the week, alohas to you. Thursday edition, Bobby Mac Show. Great to have you along. And as always, your input invited, encouraged, and welcome. Just grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number is 71307. And my email address is very simply bob@1063word.com. Something a bit unusual to lead off the hour here in the most heavily commuted hour of the Bobby Mac Show. A third-party giveaway. Usually when we do giveaways, it's something that the radio station has to give away. But Tom, in the spirit of the season, has some generosity he wanted to share with you today. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Bobby Mac. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you. Appreciate
you.
Your show.
Thank you, sir.
So much. I can't wait till you go syndicated so I can hear you from sea to shining sea. If anybody in America deserves their syndicated radio shows from sea to shining sea, it is you, Bobby Mac.
Well, very kind. Thank you. I appreciate that, Tom.
Well, listen, here's what happened. I've got two tickets already paid for to the Letterman. You know the Letterman. Great big hits in the late 60s, 70s.
Sure. Yeah.
Phenomenal group.
Yeah, great harmony group. The Way You Look Tonight and a bunch of other hits.
Yeah, beautiful singing. Well, anyways, I got seats right up front. And unfortunately, my beautiful bride is not feeling well.
Oh.
And I did not want these tickets to go to waste. And I just wanted to give somebody out there the opportunity, if they would call me, they're at will call. And I've got it set up with the box office that whoever goes there and asks for Tom Johnson's tickets,
right,
they will receive a beautiful up-close concert tonight.
Well, I tell you what, Tom, if we give your number out over the air, then you're going to be inundated with phone calls from now until the time the concert begins tonight. So let's try and simplify the logistics here. We'll do it as if it was our own giveaway where people call us. And what caller
Thank
number
you.
Do you want to make it, Miss Moneypenny? Caller number 5 on the contest line, which is 241-4334. All right. Fifth caller, and needs obviously to be somebody who is able to take advantage of using the tickets to see the Letterman tonight. We'll give those away, and then when the fifth caller gets in, Tom, we will give them your number. And that way you can explain to them how to go about getting the tickets. Okay.
Now, Bobby, I must clarify one thing real quick.
Yeah.
It doesn't start till 8 o'clock,
okay,
but it is in Newberry. So I did want to make that clear.
Oh, okay. So it's at the Opera House?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. So if you'd like to go see the Letterman tonight in Newberry at the Opera House, just be the fifth caller. Moneypenny will screen those. And then hang on after we finish on the air, Tom, because since you've mentioned your name on the air, somebody that was of ill intent could still go down there knowing your name and ask for the tickets, and then whoever actually won them wouldn't be able to get them. So we'll give them some kind of code word to use when they pick the tickets up, and I'll let you and Moneypenny can settle that, and then we will giving those away to whoever, and it's very generous of you in the spirit of the season. Thank you, Tom, and
well,
I hope your bride feels better soon.
Well, thank you, sir, and a great job, and I appreciate you being a very, very giving an important part of our community. And again, Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas to you and your family too, Tom. And put you back on hold here, and Moneypenny will give you the code word as soon as she finds caller number 5, which she's in the process of doing right now. Bobby, please share this with your audience this afternoon. I know this is the most heavily congested hour of the program. Pelham Road closed north of 85. Traffic is insane trying to get to Devinger. No highway patrol helping with the 20-second long traffic signals. It's going to take you an extra hour just to get around this jam tonight from Ken. Thank you, Tom. Bob, I think Tom was saying you should be hosting Coast to Coast. No, that's off my radar. I enjoyed the show. It's a fun show, but that's not my cup of meat, as Manfred Mann said years ago. Bobby, if the American citizens don't get at least one conviction from the top 20 criminals involved in the phony FISA court scandal, then our entire justice system is one long joke. Bob, I heard you use the Christmas song for bumper music. Didn't Anthony warn you? You can't play that song. The Eskimo line is racist. Yeah, not only that, it's also cultural appropriation, right? Speaking of the loonies on the left, Moneypenny, hang on with Tom, because I'll give you a code word that we can give to the individual who goes. Oh, you did? Oh, okay, good. Fine. She took care of that for me. I love it when we have an example of the political correctness of the left reaching the saturation point to where they end up consuming their own when the left eats their own. There's a guy named Nimish Patel. He is a writer and a comedian, and I use that word loosely, at Saturday Night Live. Okay? Last Friday night, he was invited to do a show at Columbia University, a bastion of politically correct thought, right? Halfway through his performance, they threw him off stage because the students found his jokes offensive. This guy's a leftist, right? Patel's comedy skit was cut short after the students who organized the event interrupted him and demanded that he end his performance early. This is like, you know, when they took over the dean's office back in the late 60s, early 70s. The students came on stage, took the comedian's microphone, and denounced his jokes in front of the audience. The Columbia Spectator, which I'm assuming is the school paper, first reported the story. The goal of the event was to provide a platform for a diversity of Asian American artistic expressions, as well as seeking to break through stereotypes and challenges. So the stage was set for this thing to be a disaster to begin with. According to the university paper, members of the student group found Mr. Patel's skit offensive. Specifically, when the comedian joked that being gay cannot be a choice, adding that if a man is both black and gay, no one looks in the mirror and thinks, well, this black thing is too easy, let me just add another thing to it. When told to leave, the comedian protested, explaining that his performance was simply familiarizing students with the real world. The student organizers, however, remained steadfast and insistent that Patel end his skit and apologize for inviting him in the first place. Is there a tougher job right now in America, in the politically correct world, than being a comedian? How do you find anything funny to make fun of? Everything's politically correct. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch. And call a bunch of Columbia University students. Oh, shocking. Oh, we can't let him go on. I guess at Columbia, they don't have classes in free speech anymore. 5:15 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back.
Rock on, brother.
Thank you. That's what we do 4 hours each weekday, Monday through Friday, here on the Bobby Mac Show. Bob and the Bobettes, yours truly, Bobby Mac, Miss Moneypenny, on the other side of the glass, pushing the button, screening the calls, and making sure everything runs smoothly. And, of course, little Annie back in the news center.
Sounds like a fun crew.
It is indeed. 5:21 here in the Bobby Mac Show, in on the text line. Bob, comedy now is nothing but Trump bashing. If you're not bashing Trump, you're not funny. Gotcha. Congratulations. Greg was the winner of the Letterman tickets. And I think we got something else coming up we'll do here in just a moment as well. Bobby, you're no longer allowed to say that's not my cup of meat. You have to say that's not my cup of beans. Don't want to make those vegans mad. Yeah, that's right. Don't want them after me. Just got this in the email, too, from Beth Brotherton at Greenville County Schools. They are monitoring the predicted winter weather that's expected to come in over the weekend. They'll make a decision about whether to hold school on Monday, no earlier than Sunday afternoon, and no later than 5:30 in the morning on Monday. They've told school administrators and athletic directors that all Saturday events must be concluded by 5 p.m. If school groups are traveling outside of the county, buses must be back at the school by that time on Saturday so students can drive home before sunset. The inclement conditions evaluation team, ICET would be the acronym for that. I just worked that out myself. Yeah, isn't that, that's clever. Inclement conditions evaluation team, ICET, is on alert, prepared to drive county roads on Sunday or early Monday morning to assist in the decision-making process. Any scheduled changes will be announced on the GCS website, social media channels, local media, including us, of course, and through text message, because they can now do that. The FCC modified the law to allow that to happen. If you'd like to receive a text message about school closings, please make sure that you have a cellular phone listed as your home phone in Power School. We send test messages to parents this week. I sent them out already. If you received a text message, please reply with a Y for yes to activate your phone in the school messenger system. We are currently awaiting more than 30,000 parent responses. Okay? All right. Hope that clears the situation up. All right. I mentioned we got another giveaway. Steve in Simpsonville has something he wants to share. Hi, Steve, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bobby Mack. And it's me, the guy that hasn't taken you yet. But as soon as the weather gets more climate friendly,
yes,
I will make sure that I've got two other guys lined up. In fact, one of the guys used to be an intern for you guys at the radio station.
Really?
But, I'll save that for later.
Oh, yeah, okay, great. Yeah, that'd be fine. I look forward to it. I look forward to it.
All conservative guys. We have a concert tomorrow night at Fairview Baptist Church in Greer.
Right.
And it's Travis Cottrell, who happens to be the worship leader for the Beth Moore Conference.
Oh, nice.
And she does those conferences all over the United States. Anyway, he'll be there with us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I'm giving two tickets away in the very front. I was using my blower in a guy's yard, and I heard you guys on my headset, my noise-canceling headset. I always listen to WRD.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, long story short, we got to listen to a great radio personality. See, that's why I do that.
and if you're finished blowing the leaves over there, Steve, my yard is not that far from where you live, you know.
Okay, well, I'll be glad to help you out with that on a different day.
I appreciate it. Just kidding.
Tomorrow.
Yep,
but
just kidding.
Anyway, those two tickets are available at the Will Call, and we're more than glad to have the folks. And if anybody else wants to come and join us, we'd be glad to have them. 7 o'clock at Fairview Baptist Church in Greer, 1300 Locust Hill Road.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that very much, and I hope you guys have a great holiday.
Thank you, sir, hang on
just a second. Moneypenny is waving her arms at me. What is it, Moneypenny?
Are we going
to
do this the same way?
No, they can just show up at the Will Call window and pick them up. Are there enough there that if multiple people show up, Steve?
No, we'll do a keyword of some type as well.
Okay, that'd be fine. Yeah, we can do that. So we'll do them the same way. I'm going to put you on hold, Steve, and I'll let you and Moneypenny work out what the code word will be. And we'll take caller number 4 this time at 241-4334, the contest line number, 241-4334. All right? As we head for the news at the bottom of the hour here on the Bobby Mack Show, a quick interesting fact about popular Christmas songs. Of course, you hear the same Christmas songs over and over again, year after year. 10 facts about your favorite Christmas songs you may not have known before. All I Want for Christmas Is You, pretty good Christmas song, was written in 15 minutes. Mariah Carey recorded it in August. Also, Faith Hill's Where Are You Christmas was also written by Mariah Carey. She was going to record it, but her ex-husband, Tommy Mottola, was the head of Sony Records, gave it to Faith Hill instead. When Brenda Lee recorded Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree in 1958, she was 13 years old. Jingle Bells is over 150 years old, published in 1857, was intended to be a Thanksgiving song and not a Christmas song. Thurl Ravenscroft sang You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. You may remember he was also the voice of Tony the Tiger. Great. Irving Berlin wrote the song White Christmas. He hated, supposedly, Elvis Presley's version of it so much he tried to get it banned from the radio. That's fairly serious. Silver Bells was originally called Tinkle Bell. The writer changed it after his wife pointed out the double entendre meaning of the word tinkle. The Chipmunk song, you know, Alvin and the Chipmunks, is still the only Christmas song to ever hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Do You Hear What I Hear was written as a call for peace, and it was written during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Set the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
It's a Bing in the background.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy.
Thank you, Bing. Appreciate that. Eartha Kitt, who did Santa Baby, did a follow-up the next year called This Year's Santa Baby. Same song with different lyrics, and it flopped big time. Brenda Lee was only 13.
Voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly. Rock it around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday.
The rock and roll DJs used to call her the little girl with a big voice, Brenda Lee. 529, Merry Christmas. Hope you have a great one in advance. 529 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. Then I'm right back on the other side. And when we come back, how we may be in real big trouble down the road in terms of what the coming generations are being taught in school and what they are led to believe. Be right back. Well, I think you will as we come back here at 5:38, 22 before 6, in the most heavily commuted hour of the Bobby Mack Show, bumper to bumper. Appreciate the lift again this afternoon. We talk a lot about stupid school news, and there's plenty of that going on. Political correctness dominating the campi of America. But here's some good school news, actually thanks to a court. And it's hard to believe that a court ruled this way, but what do you know? Like a stopped clock. Some of the courts are right twice a day. Thomas Lifson writing at the American Thinker, the campaign of the American left to silence conservatives on campus sustained a massive defeat. This was December 3rd, as the University of California, Berkeley, reached a legal settlement to a lawsuit brought against it following cancellation of a speech by Ann Coulter. The co-sponsor of that speech, along with Berkeley College Republicans, Young America's Foundation, jubilantly announced in an article by Spencer Brown. Following more than a year of hard-fought litigation in the hostile Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, Young America's Foundation secured victory for free speech against the University of California, Berkeley. Through YAF's lawsuit and subsequent settlement agreement executed over the weekend, UC Berkeley agreed to the following terms set by Young America's Foundation. Number one, they must pay the foundation $70,000. They must rescind their unconstitutional high-profile speaker policy. And third, they must rescind the viewpoint discriminatory security fee policy. And fourth and finally, they must abolish its heckler's veto. Protesters will no longer be able to shut down conservative expression. This landmark victory for free expression means UC Berkeley can no longer wantonly treat conservative students as second-class members of its community while ignoring the guaranteed protections of the First Amendment. No longer can UC Berkeley place a 3 p.m. curfew on conservative speech. No longer can the university ban advertisements for Young America's Foundation-sponsored campus lectures, and no longer can UC Berkeley relegate conservative speakers to remote or inconvenient lecture halls on campus while giving leftist speakers access to preferred locations. Further, the policy that allowed Berkeley administrators to charge conservative students $20,000 for security to host Ben Shapiro, an amount three times greater than the fee charged to leftist students to host liberal Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, is gone. So, nice to see that in this instance, the conservatives actually were listened to. Of course, the court didn't actually make this ruling. Bear that in mind. It is the Ninth Circuit out there. But apparently the university's attorneys told them, look, this is going to get really expensive because you're not going to, even if you are found to be within the parameters of the Constitution by the Ninth Circuit, they'll appeal it to the Supreme Court, and your legal fees are going to be mammoth. You're better off paying them to shut up and go away and give them the parameters they want in the future for conservative speakers. Okay. Bob, do you know if the American flag over President Bush golfing will be left there for burial or if it will be removed for the family? I'm not sure. I have not heard. I'm sure we'll hear from the media, though, as we proceed along. Speaking of the leftists controlling things on campus, here are some of the residue of that. According to the State of American Patriotism Report, designed to assess the patriotism and historical knowledge of young Americans, they found that 6 in 10 millennials, that is people 22 to 37, actually believe the United States is racist and sexist. 6 in 10. As bad as these results are, it gets worse. The survey results indicate that love for country is declining among young Americans in general. For instance, nearly half, 46% of young Americans between the ages of 14 and 37 did not agree with the statement, America is the greatest country in the world. 46% of those 14 to 37 did not agree with that statement. More than half, 53%, say America is a sexist country. 54% said the country is racist. The survey conducted by the public opinion firm YouGov for the Foundation for Liberty and Greatness, a nonprofit that educates Americans about the values and principles that make our nation acceptable. Flag founder Nick Adams said he was totally unprepared to see the epidemic of anti-Americanism that was revealed in this survey. that half of millennials and Gen Z believe that the country in which they live is both racist and sexist shows that we have a major fraction of an entire generation that has been indoctrinated by teachers starting in grade school that America is what's wrong with the world. His organization sounded the warning alarm for our society as younger Americans are becoming unmoored from the institutions, knowledge, and the American spirit that keeps America great. Given the garbage that's being taught to our kids by the leftists and the education establishment, the educrats, fed to them by the entertainment and pop culture industries and preached to them by Democrats, are any of us surprised that they grow up with those attitudes towards America? And to take a quick break here, we go back to the phones when we come right back. Quarter before six here on the Bobby Mack Show as the 5 o'clock Follies rolls on here on Thursday. Welcome back. About 11 before 6 here in the most heavily commuted and congested hour of the Bobby Mack Show, the 5 o'clock Follies. In on the text line, Bobby, why does Greenville County force all the cars to drive through Five Forks when 99% of the drivers just want to get around Five Forks? Beats the heck out of me. Bobby, don't the millennials realize that in other countries they wouldn't even be able to find, let alone fill out, that survey? No, they don't, because they have not been taught about other countries. And in fact, the piece that I mentioned is a lead-in for something I want to share with you coming up, a column by the great Walter E. Williams, Professor Williams, now retired, brilliant economics professor. And he wrote a piece about this very issue entitled Miseducated or Stupid. And we'll work our way around to that. To the phones, though, as promised, because Colonel Ted joins us this afternoon. And as always, Colonel, Moneypenny and Little Annie and I salute you.
Thanks. I got to talk fast. I got a lot to say. This, I didn't even see all of it this afternoon. I was having a CT scan of a part of my body I won't go into details about, but I unfortunately got home just to see the flyover.
Yes.
Which I was anticipating. But look, I didn't see the missing man portion of it. Might have been the ceiling was too low to do that.
No, they actually did, and from what I understand, it was a massive missing man formation.
Well, they had a lot of aircraft. They go over four or five flights of four, but then the missing man part, what I mean is that the one of the four goes straight up to represent the missing man. I've seen those done a number of times. One done for one of my best friends in the Air Force who was killed in the mid-air collision.
In fact, I think, Colonel Ted, we have some of the audio from that. Let me run that right quick here. As you can tell, this goes on for quite a while. This is like
nearly
a minute.
Noisy. And Chiron said that it was the Navy doing it, but I thought the first flight was F-16. All the services participated. I'm not sure that would have made sense, maybe. But
I believe they did. Anyway. I think the Navy reference may have been to the fact that Bush 41 was a Navy pilot in World War II.
Yeah, well, I tell you, this just brought back so many memories. I happened to be at Andrews Air Force Base in January 2007 when President Ford died.
Right.
And he was the only president I ever got to shake hands with when he stopped at Chicago O'Hare at the unit, Air National Guard unit I was in back in the 76 campaign. But anyway, that was an incredible situation because I was out at the passenger terminal watching the National Cathedral stuff and everything on TV.
Right.
And next to me was sitting a senior NCO talking on a walkie-talkie or some kind of communication equipment to the Marine guards. telling them what to do. I didn't realize that they would have somebody directing them like that, and why he was out at Andrews rather than closer, I'm not sure. But, I looked at the TV. I said, the world's watching this. I'm sitting next to the guy that's telling these
guys. Yeah. Who's giving them their directions.
What to do at what time.
Yeah, it's always fascinating to me because they typically use members of the old guard from Fort Myer in Virginia in these ceremonies, because, of course, they routinely conduct funeral ceremonies there at Arlington National Cemetery right next to
14 or 15 a day, even more sometimes.
Right, which is right where I grew up.
Yeah, well, it's so impressive. I was out at Arlington 2016, spent an afternoon, autumn afternoon, and saw the changing of the guard and all that kind of stuff. And it is just so impressive.
Yeah.
The Marines particularly. I mean, there's nobody that can show a uniform and marches precisely as they do.
Well, and you know, those guys in the old guard, when they become a member of that unit that guards the tombs of the unknowns, they take an oath that for the remainder of their life, they will not take a drink and not swear.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, because they don't want anything to happen to impugn the reputation of the unit.
Wow, I had not heard that.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive. How do we get volunteers to do that, do you think?
They are some dedicated individuals.
Oh, I would say. But then also real quick, have you ever seen the movie 12 Strong, of the special forces that were first into Afghanistan?
No, I've been wanting to see that. Those were the guys that were on horseback, right?
Yeah. One of the best war movies I've ever seen. Well, anyway, on that same trip, I happened to be over watching the Patriots-Colts playoff game and ended up sitting next to one of those 12 guys.
Wow.
And he ended up giving me a challenge coin that I carry around with me all the time.
Very
nice. Leave home without it in my pocket.
Yeah, that's a rare one to have.
I cannot remember his name, so when I watched the movie, I couldn't associate him with any of the actors.
And for those of you who are not familiar with that story, right after 9/11, a group of special forces guys was sent immediately to Afghanistan and to strike back. And that's what it's about. And they actually hooked up with the locals there and attacked the Mujahideen on horseback.
Yeah. It was, I mean, basically 12 guys won the initial Afghan war. I mean,
you know,
chased Osama bin Laden out. And I've said before, the special forces are special. I learned a lot about them in Vietnam. That's where I started my association with them. And
right.
The Green Beret captain for 30 days while I was over there. And I was up at Fort Bragg over Thanksgiving.
Smoke Bomb Hill.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they changed the Green Beret Club to Smoke Bomb Club, and they put siding on it, so it's not the same old Vietnam era type thing. And so it lost its character, but they still got pictures of the KIA Green Berets, received Medal of Honors in Vietnam.
Yeah, some real heroes there. Colonel Ted, I got to run because I'm up against the news here, but I thank you for the call, sir, and thanks for the trip down memory lane there. Hour number four, which is commonly referred to as the bonus hour, is on the way next here on the Bobby Mack Show.